really interesting, the folk that you have in Family Church School over the years. Ties right in with our lesson, new loyalty, new loyalty. The word new excites a lot of folk. Me included, but I find that the longer you live, the less things are new. Solomon declared that there's nothing new under the sun. Under the sun, nothing new. But there are plenty of things that are new in the sun. Y'all didn't get it. Nothing new under the sun, but there are plenty of things new in the sun. And if you don't believe me, you just keep on living. Because Jeremiah grabbed this thing and said that every day there's new mercy. And we all want new mercy. If you want something, ask for some new mercy, and you get it, because yesterday's mercy won't suffice today. It's new, and God brings that new mercy. But many of us who have been on this journey for some time know that many of the things that we call new and are attracted to the things that are new, we find that we have right there in the old. There's nothing new about the Word of God. It is the same Word that was delivered to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, on down through 42 and generations. It is the same Word that was delivered on the day of Pentecost. It is the Word of God. It is not new, but I find that if we put a little time in with this word, we will find new and amazing things every day. Deacon Williams was sharing with me over at The Rock about something that he'd been struggling with, and we've taught more Sunday school lessons on it, more deacon's lessons, more Bible study lessons on this particular, but that's what's great about the Word of God, that God will wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and not give you a new revelation, but give you an illumination that makes it seem new. And then there are other folk that look at new, and they want new homes, new cars, new yards, and you know, but all they have to do is put a little something down on it, what they already have, and they will find how new it really is. Put a coat of paint on it, you know, cut it, trim it. It'll be new. Put some water on it, you know, to get new. But the type of new that we're going to talk about today is about a turning new, a turning new, new loyalty. The question that begs to be asked first is, what are you loyal to now? And I would suggest that in this particular audience, even those that eat banana bread, good partners of mine, bananas and strawberries while I hunger and thirst after righteousness. And yes, Dick and Newsom, I'm talking about you. But as I stated, we're talking about new loyalty and turning. The church at Thessalonica was a church that was established amid affluence. People had it going on. It was a great center of Mecca of culture. I'll get it. Thank you. Great center of culture there in Macedonia, in Greece, near Athens, in the province of Macedonia. And these folk had it going on. Major Roman road ran through Thessalonica. A lot of Gentiles there. And Paul, on his second missionary journey, goes there and really has a great success. And one of the things that we're going to see, Steve, in this particular lesson today is that you don't need a lot of time until to achieve that which the Lord has already ordained. If it's God's work, it can be as quick as right now and as long as forever. But is God in it? These folk had it going on, rich, shirts-like folk. They had it going on. Did I say they had it going on? They really had it made. But Gentiles and Jews. And so when Paul, on his second missionary journey, according to Acts chapter 17, he goes there and he goes to the synagogue for 3 Sundays. So about 3 weeks, 3 Sabbaths. And so in about somewhere between 3 and 5 weeks, this church gets its roots. And him and Silas are there together, but some things happen. And the reason why it took so short of a time is because he was run out of town. These boys ran him out of Dodge. They had to get up out of there. And then he leaves and goes over to Berea, and they follow him and run him out of there. And so now he returns. But, you know, Paul's used not to being treated well. You know, I mean, he had been to Philippi and, you know, gone to jail and all of that. And now in Corinth, he writes this letter to the church at Thessalonica. And it's a church that Paul is proud of. It's a church, a local assembly now, a local assembly that is being talked about. And you know what? It's not negative. It's not about all those hypocrites over there and those folk aren't doing right and they don't know how to do this and can you believe they're doing that? It's all positive. And so here in verse 1 in the salutation, the opening to the letter, to the church at Thessalonica, we see something very interesting. Verse 1, if you would. And Timothy, unto the which is in God and in the Lord Jesus, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is about to tell you that this church at Thessalonica is one to be modeled. Because it is a model. He's saying, if you want to know how to do church, do it like the people did at Thessalonica. Paul says, first of all, they have become exactly what Christ wanted to them to become. One in God and one in Christ. Jesus, before he goes back to his heavenly Father out there on the cross in chapter 17 of John, says, Father, it is my desire that they be one. And Paul now is telling us that this church here over in Thessalonica appears to be one in God and in Christ. And because they are one, they have the grace of God and they have the peace of God. Y'all don't hear me. Churches that are doing well and churches that are models, they have the grace of God. It is by grace. They have the grace of God and they also have the peace of God. But I just want to remind all of you that the reason why they have the peace of God is that they have peace with God. And the only way you can have peace with God is that you are a saved people. Ah, didn't know I was going there, did you? Paul is saying the people at Thessalonica have been saved. I know he says that because all you got to do is stay with me and I'll tell you. I'll show you, brother. He says they have peace and grace. They have the unmerited favor of God, and they have the peace of God. And in verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul had an exhaustive prayer list. Today I ask people for prayer. Prayer requests. Paul had a list. As a matter of fact, Newsom is a prayer warrior. That should be one of the tasks for the prayer warrior ministry here, is to go and look at Paul's prayer list. Paul prayed for folk because he knows one thing. If you are a church and if you are a model church, the church needs to be prayed for. Let me tell you something, folks. People don't like the fact that you, first of all, or even call yourself a called out assembly. This local assembly called Resurrection, the world is not friendly to you. And I don't know why it is that we want to be so friendly to them. We're not to be friendly with the world. We're to love the world. Okay? We're not to be friendly with them. We're not friends. We're not homies. We're not buddies with the world. Because what happens is that friends try to take on the characters and traits of their friends. If you're friendly with the world, maybe you want to act like the world. But the whole goal of Christendom is that you can get the world to act like you. And Paul here says, grace and peace be to you. I'm praying for you always because I understand that you have become a model church. Verse 3 tells you why they have become a model church. And so if you really want to know, for those of you who are taking notes, if you really want to know how to become a model church, not a marketed church, not a church on the hill, not if you want to be a model church, this is what you need to have. Verse 3 says what? Remembering without ceasing your what? Your work of faith. The work of faith. In other words, Paul is acknowledging that a model church works not to get saved, but they work because they are saved. Paul here is saying that faith is a natural response to an encounter with God Almighty. That if you're really going to be in God and in Christ, it takes faith. And you do the work not to get saved, but because you are saved. Paul here is saying there is no contradiction between me and James. Because James says, you show me your faith without works. I show you a failed contraption here. Paul is saying, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that these folk, a model church, they will always be working because they understand that a work of faith is a look back to what you were and now see what you are. And because of what you are, you do what you do now. Not to get there, but because God has brought you this far. And it's that faith in God. But also, he says, remembering what? Labor of love. That word, that labor of love there, that's strenuous. In other words, he says, because you are saved, you are being recognized as a busy church. So when somebody labors you, that church is just busy, busy, busy. You know what? That's what the church is supposed to be. They're supposed to, it's a labor of love. In other words, if you're doing ministry, we'll just talk about resurrection. Let's not talk about Thessalonica. Let's talk about resurrection. If you're doing work and it is bothering you, you are laboring over it, you just hate to do this work, don't do it. We get weary in the work, but we don't get weary of the work. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, that's a labor of love. This thing means too much. This ministry means too much in order for you to get tired and frustrated with doing well in the ministry. Oh, are you going to get tired? Don't delude yourself. You're going to get tired. You're a physical being. You're going to get tired, but you don't get tired of doing what God has called you to do. See, because you were called. You're not your own. And if you're called, you know, the slave, the bondservant, doesn't tell the master what to do. Oh, can you imagine? Kunta saying, hey, I'm tired today. I ain't doing nothing. I'm tired. Nah, you get tired in the ministry, but you don't get tired of the ministry because it's a labor of love. And he says, if you're going to be a model church, that's what people should see. They should see people who are busy doing ministry, who just do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. It's a labor of love. There's nothing greater to do in ministry than to do what you've been called to do. If God has called you to preach, you better preach the skin off of a mule. If God has called you to teach, you better teach every chance you get. If God has called you to serve, you need to be serving in the ministry. If God has called to any ministry, God has called you, you know the Lord has called you to do it. The Lord has called you to do it. You don't have no choice but to do it. And they don't like me. But this is the model church. It is marked by folk who have a work of faith. They work because of who they are in Christ, and they work diligently in the ministry, tirelessly. And what? Patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Paul says these folk, they naturally have a work of faith because they once were unsaved and now they are saved. They work tireless because they are saying, I'm never going to do that. They're being sanctified every day. They're being set apart every day. But they also patiently wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to know that that work, all that work that you are doing right now, is not in vain. Every time you've had to stand up, and let me tell you something, folks, to keep a church, a model church, there are a whole bunch of folk that can take you off kilter. You've got to have folk who will stand. You've got to have folk who will question. Folk who will say, wait a minute, hey guys, does this make sense? Is this of the Lord or is this of men? We must always be checking ourselves. That's work. And let me tell you one, when you got to trust God in a month for more, when there's more month than there is money, that's faith. That's a work of faith. When you got to trust God that whenever all the trends are changing, because there's one thing about these folk right here you're going to see in the coming verses, and we got to hurry up in the coming verses, that these folk, they stood on what they've been taught. Let's go to verse 4 and 5 right quick. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I cannot spend a lot of time on the election of God, but the scripture is clear. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus died to save you. Before the foundation of the world, a lamb was slain. God elected you. You didn't elect him. So you can't put nobody out you didn't elect. Y'all better watch that. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also what? In power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance as ye. In other words, we came doing and preaching certain things. We didn't come just with flowery words, but we came with the power. We came with the gospel. Folks, if you're going to be a model church, please don't fleshly disciple folk. Don't try to attract folk with gimmicks and games. Somebody please help me. Folk, the message doesn't change. Methods change, but the message doesn't change. You've got to be different. Paul says we came there with the word, not only just the word, but we came with the power and the Holy Ghost. We had the power of the Holy Ghost in the words that we used. So we had to be talking about the gospel. We didn't come here talking about how you can win an election in 2020. We didn't come here talking about how to create a social media status in the community. We're about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul later declared to the Corinthian church, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." If you want to talk about the stock market, you want to be political and you have your political agendas, I don't want to participate in that. Show me Christ and him crucified. Show me how that the illumination of who Jesus Christ is will make a transformation in my life. And he says, Paul here says, "We've been hearing that you're such the church." Oh, y'all don't hear me? He says, "You're the model church because you accepted the message, because we didn't come there with a gimmick to attract you. We didn't come there saying we look just like the world." Hey, they were in Thessalonica, right up against Athens. The bastion of culture, entertainment, nightlife. But Paul says, when we came in our Sunday school class, we talked about the gospel. We didn't talk about what your opinion was, because their opinion was they served idols. See, the issue, if you go in there trying to appeal to folk where they are, without any indication of moving them from where they are to where you want them to be, guess what? You'll stay right there with them. But here's how you know the gospel is effective. They'll make you get up and get out of there. They came up in that boy's house, or in the synagogue, rather, and told him, "You got to get up out of here." And he went over to Berea, and you know what happened, Terry? They followed him over there. Now, let me tell you, that's a model church. When folk want to stop what you are teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that's a good thing. That ain't a bad thing. You want to be friends with the world? You want to kiss up to the world? You want to act like the world? You want Saturday night and Sunday morning to look just alike? Oh, I'm not scared of y'all, because that's exactly what this is about. He said, these folk didn't go to Studio 54 and then come in Sunday morning, you know, with the Studio 54 mentality. Y'all don't know nothing about Studio 54. Harry and Vanessa do. You know, they used to hang out there. Yeah. And even if y'all wanted to go, y'all couldn't go because you had to be a celebrity, you know, to get in there. But y'all may know about Cadillac Square, right, Keith? All right, okay, all right, I miss it. But it didn't look like that on Sunday morning. These folk, they emulated. Paul didn't come with no different message. He came with the message of the gospel, and that's why there's power in it. Verse 6 says, "And ye be what?"
And followers of us.
Stop. So if they became followers of us, and they are now being commended as a model church, they must have followed someone who was a model. Y'all with me? So here's what I'm saying. If you're acting just like they were, then that's what they're going to act like, because that's the only model they know. Oh, they came in, they talked a little longer, but, you know, hey, you know, we can deal in that. We go throw up holy hands on Sunday morning, but we'll shake our booties on Saturday night. No big deal. But they didn't do that. They led a consistent lifestyle. Consistent lifestyle. Because one of the issues that we talked about in Bible study Wednesday night was whether or not you wanted to be close, comforted, or was God consistent. Which one of those characteristics you like best? Caring. Consistent, close. A lot of people chose consistent. You know why? Because God's the same. And if God's the same, you know what? I think I'd like to be like God. Because guess what? If you care for me today and don't care for me tomorrow, all I had was care today. But if you call yourself consistent, if you care for me today, tomorrow's secure. Because here, O Israel, the Lord God changeth not. He says, but what they did, we became followers of us. Because we live, but and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we preach Jesus. We preach the Lord. We preach the gospel. We didn't have an entertainment mentality. Because life is too dear. And peace ain't that sweet to be purchased at the price of a compromise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These folk didn't compromise. A model church does not compromise. The model church does not get in bed with the world. You lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. My grandmother told me that long time ago. And so he says, if you're going to be a model church, the gospel has got to be at the forefront of everything you do. And so we came with the gospel. We didn't come with no front. We weren't perpetrating a front. We came with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You followed us as we followed Christ. And that's the way it should be. We have got to stop this mentality of following men who are not following Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm here to tell you this. Oh, bottom line. But the issue is, in the local assembly, we're all flawed creatures. That's why you are being taught. If I come and I teach you, thou shalt not steal. And you say, is this what the Lord said? That's what the word of God says. And then you catch me stealing. Folk, don't fall out with the church. Come on, folk. Do you realize how elated Paul is? That these folk that he witnessed to these few short weeks established the church. Timothy went down. Matter of fact, Timothy is just getting back. That's why he's listed in verse 1 up there. Because Paul is sharing with him in this ministry. He's telling you, this ain't no one-man show here. You know, me and Silas, we went down there. But Timothy is coming back, and he's telling us, he's verifying the very things that we've been hearing in some places. That these folk have followed you and your teachings, and they followed the Lord. And they received that word in affliction, and yet they still follow. Nobody in here was stopped by the church police today and said, get out your car, you're not going to church today. But let me tell you, these folk were. They were harassed on every corner. Why are you going over there? Didn't see you at the opera last night. But I see you going down to the church. These people were being persecuted for their faith. And Paul says, just like us, we were afflicted. And Paul said, well, yeah, Paul should have been afflicted. All them Christians, he done fired up. You know, Lord told him, no, the Lord told him that he would be afflicted for his sake. And you are not a friend of the world. That's why I said that. Some of you wince when I said that. You ain't a friend of the world. Your job is to impart God's word to the world. Love them. And anybody who does say that they don't want to deal with the world, they don't love them. They want to deal with the abstract love. But Jesus says that this is how that we will know that you, first of all, might have said that you love one another. Then he says, love your enemy. You got to love them. You have to like them. And you certainly don't want to imitate them because you can't be the model church. If I don't see any difference at resurrection and the rock that I see in the world, on the job, in the nightclub, in my fraternities, in my sorority, if I don't see any difference, then something is wrong. Oh, Brother Sneed, you're just old. Yeah, I am old. But as my wife says, that's the goal. The goal is to get old. It's foolish to die young when Jesus came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. And so this abundant life, there's got to be some exampling of that abundant life. There's got to be some example. There's got to be some modeling of that. And let me tell you something, folks. Babies don't teach babies. I'm going to say it one more time so that y'all will know that I said it and you will attribute it to me. Because there are a lot of things been attributed to me that I did not say. I want to get that straight right now. If you want to know what I said, come to Family Church School on Sunday mornings or to any other teaching opportunities you have, or come to me directly. But I'm here to tell you, babies don't teach babies. Only mature folk. And see, you know, I mean, just like the blind leading the blind on a narrow cliff. Would you rather have a sighted guide or a blind guide if you're blind? Oh, this lesson, y'all don't know how this one dealt with me. Because what it's saying is that, are we really the model? Do we just take on anything? Is anybody talking about us in terms of, I remember a time when you said, in this city, when you said Resurrection Baptist Church, you know what they said? Oh man, that's a teaching church. That gladdens my heart when I hear that. That gladdens my heart, because you can't say that about everybody. Some folk, oh man, that's an eating church. That's a partying church. But is it, what's going to impact lives? Teaching impacts lives forever. To teach is to touch lives forever. And most folk did it here with affliction, but they had the joy of the Holy Ghost. See, the world ain't got to like you. Nobody has to like Reverend Brown. Nobody has to like our deacon staff. Nobody has to like our children's ministry. They don't have to like it. But the world should all have a testimony. Those people are solid. I don't belong to church, but if I belong to church, I think I'd belong there on the church. They love each other, they care, and they don't back off of the word. You just got to be known for that, no matter what the affliction. So that they were examples to all that believe and were Macedonia and Achaia. You know what? People started talking. They moved out of San Antonio, people in California. You know, I know a couple of deacons still active duty, and some of them not. They go on business trip, and they happen to go visit at a church. And the pastor called Reverend Brown back. Brown! That deacon, Reese, that green deacon Harden, man, you got two more like them that you can spare? The reason they could say that is that they were same there as they are here. They were examples. No matter where you go, you got to be an example. You are a Christian no matter what. You call yourself a deacon, but you want to reverse your collar when Saturday night comes? Or when you go TDY or on a business trip? No, you got to be an example wherever you are, because people will talk. And especially now, people know you, especially in this city. Oh, it used to be San Antonio. All you got to do is go to one side of the city. You're safe. You're safe. I see a couple of heads nodding. Don't nod too hard, guys. Your wives might be here, you know. You know, hey, you know, you go to a certain side of the city, you're safe. Now, you can't go nowhere. I was telling Deacon this on this person came up to me. They were all over me. Hey, take his knee, da, 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 da. And I said to myself, now, who are you? I didn't know. I'm serious. But people, now just imagine the same thing if you are there acting like a banshee in Walmart and Macy's. That's going to get around. But it's comforting to know. You know what, Deacon Sneed? I don't know how you took that off that cashier. I got what I wanted. It's no big deal. No need to spoil my witness because somebody is having a bad day. Be an example. Wherever you go, Macedonia or Achaia. Verse 8 says, for what? The word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We don't even need to talk about your praise. You know why? Because everybody else is talking about it. People worried about, you know, what Reverend Brown says about you, you know, they, because he doesn't call your name. Is the world calling your name out there? Are they saying, I met Brother so-and-so, I met Sister so-and-so, and they blessed my life? You will never know how much of an impact you really have many times just for being a model Christian, just for exemplifying the qualities and the character of Christ. There are folk that if given an opportunity to testify, they would say, you know what, that Sister Dorothy, that Brother Robert, oh, how powerful. And all you may have said was, Jesus wept. Something touched them. Something reached them. But you know what? The issue was, you said it. And you said it to them. Be an example, not only in Macedonia, not only in Achaia, not only in shirts, not only in San Antonio, but wherever you're abroad. So we don't even have to give out the accolades, because the world is talking about you. The world is talking about that church. Yes, I want them to talk about resurrection on social media. But you know what? I want it to be who we are. Don't tell no lie. Don't perpetrate no fraud. Folk, you got to be you. And somebody needs to know the real you. You know, we can't be having saying, I met this guy. He's a deacon at Resurrection, and they told me his name was Barry Rutson. And it comes out to be he's Gary Hudson. But it's me, I know. For they themselves, what? What manner? Today, Brother Tony Leitner over at The Rock, who's the administrator on several occasions at The Rock, he was on duty today. He was sharing with me, hey, what you doing, Tony? Hey, yeah, man, hey, I'm still hanging out with those of you and doing such and such. And then he began to share with me about these kids that he's had in, AAU track, I think it is, track, yeah. And he was talking about how they came out, and you remember the time they used to put their track shoes on the wrong foot and all of that. And here now they're going off to college. Matter of fact, there's two of them in his, that he's gonna start out as little kids, and now both are in PhD programs. So he's been with them that long. But what a report that these young men are still balanced and healthy and doing what they were taught to do. Because he says, despite all the track lessons, I'd like to think that I taught more life lessons than track lessons. And he says, you see that in that, you know, kids are going on. They're moving on from their track careers now. And, you know, they're getting into education and they're getting into doctoral programs. What a blessing. What a good report. Do you realize how that makes you feel? And that's what Paul is saying here. We think about the kind of impact that we had with you guys. How y'all came and sucked up that word. How you've remained over the years. Oh, I'm going to use you. You know that. Right to my left here, this couple right here, knew them when they ain't even thought about each other. They ain't thought about being married. They've been married so long now. I begin to think, has it been that long? Their kids grown, so I know it's been out. So all of them born. But you know where I met them? Bible study. Singles in Bible study. What a report. That after all these years, 20 years, some odd years, they're still here. Still committed. What a report. What a model. So you can't say, oh, well, yeah, well, you know, and there was some time. We're not talking about perfection here. Especially if you're talking about me. Because I'm going to tell you, you go hear the report from me, from my hometown. And you start talking about, oh, man, I met this Deacon Sneed. He's from North Carolina. You know, oh, man, he has a powerful teaching ministry. They said, wait a minute, is that in prison? I didn't know you were talking about a prison ministry. What? He doing what? And you mean to tell me that's a church? What a report. What a report. No, folks, when you go home in a small town, see, that's why I love small towns. You go home, you know, when we came in, the time that we came in, they used to say, Trella, you in the service.
Everybody's in the army.
Yeah. Everybody's in the army or in the service. And when they find out you're in the service, they don't even say nothing. Fred Kimball says all they do is fold their hand and say, my, I'm so proud of you. That's what people need to say about your witness. As we go, it says, you turn from idols. How you turn? You are out there, strung out, doing every sort of thing, doing exactly what the world was doing, and now here you are, a model church for Christ. That's what we need to be known. Not about what we used to do, what are we doing now? And we need to be holding on to that word. And we need to wait for his son from heaven, whom he what? Now, most of you who have attended basic doctrine realize that there's a lot of doctrine in those 10 verses. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Work of faith. We look back to the cross where God has provided for our salvation. We look now to the cross that God, that Jesus Christ's birth secured that, and we are being sanctified. But we look forward in hope that one day we will be with him. See, when we look back, that's justification. We look in, that's sanctification. And we look forward, that's glorification. That's the hope, and we do that with patience. We don't have to hurry up and get there. In our own time, it's appointed once for us to get up and get out of here. But until that time, we need to work a labor of love. We need to have work of faith. In other words, we need to be assured of our salvation and work because we are saved. We are to be sure that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is sanctifying us every day, and that Jesus, the same one who died on Friday, got up Sunday morning, went to sit at the right hand of the Father, is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle who will save us from the wrath either of tribulation or the wrath eternally. God bless you and keep you. Is that prayer?